If you know this, sing along with me, I think. Let the glory of the Lord. That'll wake you up a little bit, at least, huh? Woo! Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Oh. Let it rise. Oh, 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 let it rise.
You know, I could just listen and play that. I could just see Pastor Bob and I choreographed to that. That rock. Wouldn't that be good? You all enjoyed that, wouldn't you? Anyway, it's Let It Rise. Don't I crack you up? Speaking of cracks, what a way to move into that, right? Bob has invited anybody that wants to tomorrow to be here to church to fill in cracks in the blacktop. Huh? 8 o'clock. So bring your own tar. No, everything will be here. So if you'd like to be a part of that crack up job, be here tomorrow and we'll see about getting that done. A couple other things. The disc golf, if you want to be a part of that, that's a Saturday. I don't see Brian. Brian's back in the back. So talk to Brian about that if you want to participate in that in any way, shape, or form. If you, the Ox Roast coming up this week, they always have a parade. Now, the church itself is not taking part in that, but the Community Life-Wise program is. And so if you want a t-shirt, this will be out on the table. Make sure you sign this up, get a t-shirt, so you can have a t-shirt and tell them the size so that you can have a t-shirt to wear on Saturday or whatever day the parade is. I'm not sure what day the parade is, Saturday. But and talk to Pastor Bob more about that parade so you get the information if you need that. He's also looking to know the men that might be wanting to go on the retreat or do a retreat. So let Bob know that information also if you're interested in the retreat. And if you haven't signed that up, make sure you talk to Pastor Bob about signing that up and taking care of that. And, you know, this morning as I was coming in, I seen a fellow I've known for a lot of years. He's out in his front yard. Actually, when he's front yard, he's a farmer out there. And he's weed eating around the post out there by the road on Sunday morning, you know. And we don't think too much about that. But I got to thinking, what is this, 2023? In 2123, who's going to own that piece of property? What's it really going to matter whether he weed-eated that little piece of property on Sunday morning or not? Huh? Couldn't he let something go by on Sunday morning so he could be at church on Sunday morning? Does everything have? And I just think about those things. And we preoccupy our time with some of the things we probably don't need to preoccupy our time with. They're less important. I think Jesus told Martha about that, you know. Mary about that, I'm sorry. Anyway, that there's things that we get too preoccupied with, and that we need to preoccupy ourselves with being in the house of the Lord on Sunday morning and being a part of the family of God in a way that's visible to others and to fellowship one another. The last thing I'll mention is I'm going to put on the mission hat right now and say this for Roxanne Finley. She's not here with us this morning, but she was going to speak on missions, and that is the Help Pass program we have coming. It'll be collecting winter garb, coats, hats, gloves, sweatshirts, whatever might be used during the colder months of the year for the Help House to distribute, and we're going to collect those now through September 12th. So try to get that stuff in by September 12th so we can put it together and give it to the Help House. Other than that, God bless you. We're glad you're here, and have a great service this morning.
Can I tell you a little story about that song I opened up with? My sister's a piano player, gifted piano player for years at their church, and I went and did a concert then on a Sunday afternoon, and a couple years back, I told her what song I was going to open up with. She said, oh, we do that. She sat down at the piano. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. I said, so when I got done, she came up later and she said, we don't do that. We don't do that. We do that song, but we don't do it that way. I said, well, it's about time you do. So, all right, let's stand, shall we? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee will bow at your throne in worship. You will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away,
O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. For none can compare to your matchless worth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God. And your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days, Ancient of Days, Ancient of Days.
He's the great I Am. He's always been, and he always will be. Amen. Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Isn't that a great hymn? One of my favorite. Let's read Romans 9. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? It's talking about the sovereignty of God there. And Isaiah 64, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray.
Father, that is our prayer this morning. We give ourselves to you. You've done so much for us, dying on the cross, and giving us your love. We just thank you for coming after us. Guide us as we worship today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Do you ever have one of those weeks where you did so much you can't remember what you did? Trying to think this week, what did I do? I can't remember. I did things. Must have been okay. I'm still here, so must have been a good week. The girls are on their girl trip today. Had to take them to the airport at 3 o'clock this morning and drop them off. I didn't have to stay, so that was okay. They're going to Disney, have a little Disney trip together, so they enjoy stuff like that. Cedar Point, Disney, I don't care for the rides. So all I would do is go there and eat food. So I decided not to go. I'll just stay with the dogs, so... For the men's retreat, if you're interested in men's retreat, let me know. We need enough guys to make it viable, otherwise we're not going to do it. So it's September, I think, 29th and 30th. And it'll be a Friday night for a few hours, and then it'll be that Saturday until like 3 o'clock. So we'll have a few speakers and activities and things like that going on. So, and then if it works out well this year, we'll do it somewhere else next year. So Bo had the idea, so I'll give him the credit for that. He had the idea for it, so we're going to try to do that this year and get the guys to come. Nothing strenuous, you know, you're not going to hurt your back or anything, so you can come, and we'll have food and fellowship and some teaching and things like that. So let me know for sure if you're going to make it, and we can start giving you final plans. That won't be expensive at all, maybe $10, $20, or maybe the church will cover everything. I don't know what we're going to do, so we'll see what we do, so it won't be an expensive thing. But it'll be a lot of fun and a lot of fellowship to get to know each other, because some of you guys don't know each other's names even. So I know almost everybody's name, but some of you guys don't even know, who's that guy over there? Well, you'll find out. So come to the retreat. Any praises this week, what God's been doing? Kelly.
I've had an unspoken prayer for a while for my family, and it was answered yesterday. So I am just praising God today for his glory, for his goodness, and he is so good. And thanks for everybody that prayed for my family.
So take a second, look back at the sound in the audio booth here. Neely family sound team back there. And we need more volunteers, because when they're gone and Dan's gone, then it leaves me trying to do this and go up here and back and forth all the time. So it's easier if we have people that know what to do. You can run the slides. It's not really a big deal. They're pretty much all set up. You just have to click on them. The music part, the board's not bad. You just have to learn about the CD thing. That's the only thing that's a little bit difficult. But if you're interested in doing that, let me know. Also, a Facebook page. You want to try to keep that updated. And the website. So anybody interested in that? Steve gave a little interest. Still seeing if he's interested or not, but he had a little interest. Maybe he'll get it going. So anybody else interested? I usually put the message on every Sunday right after the service. But all you do is take the drive out, put it in the computer, and then let it load, and you're done. But otherwise, through the week, you just take the bulletin and copy and paste pages in. So it's updated. I think we're up to July right now, something like that. So we're a little bit behind. And so unless I get to do it, we don't always get it done. So if you want to help with that, people go on there and say, you know, your page is kind of outdated. And I'm like, yeah, it probably is, because I haven't got on there. So any other praises this week?
I guess I would be remiss not thanking God for all that he did this week. We've had an amazing week. One of the amazing things is that our three grandchildren find a place to get a home together, apartment, or actually a house, and they'll be moving in the middle of September, so my daughter's three boys will be living together, and that's an amazing thing. We've been pushing for that for quite some time. And God worked through that in amazing ways, and they were able to afford it. And some of you know Jill McLaughlin, some of you don't, but she was instrumental in that. She has the home, and she's renting it to them. So we're so excited, and it's just been an answer to prayer for at least 9 months that we've been praying for this. So we thanked him in many ways this past week.
Anything else?
I had a teacher in service day on Friday, and it was done at 3 o'clock, which my normal work time is around 4:30, 5 o'clock. So I thought, a couple hours extra, let's travel out of town. So we went to see my dad and stepmother. And we have attempted within the last year to go over there several times, but she has Parkinson's disease. And oftentimes she, we'll get halfway or part of the way over the trip, and Dad will call and say, Marilyn's having a really, difficult time. I don't think she should come. So I told Dave, I said, okay, we've listened to this, now several times, and I know she's failing, and I know my dad, and he's 89 now. We need to see them. And so I'm just going to step out in faith. I'm not going to call. So, and my aunt, my mother's sister, is also in town there, and she's also failing. And I'm like, I want to see these people. So I just put this in God's hands, and we prayed on the way over, and we said, God, just make this a wonderful weekend of ministering to them. And my brother, my youngest brother, who's 16 years younger than me, also had a birthday. So I thought, this is a perfect weekend. We're just going to do this all. We'll recognize and just appreciate them and just help us to minister to them. So we met with my aunt on Friday night then. I still hadn't called my dad to tell him that we were coming. And the next morning, that night I contacted my brother and I said, hey, we'd like to take you out for lunch and for your birthday. And we met with him and his girlfriend. And he said, did you tell dad that you're coming? And I said, no, we haven't talked to him. And he says, well, kind of like good luck. And so I looked at Dave, and we finished our lunch together, and I just prayed, and I said, Lord, make this a good day. Make this, So we went over to their house, and We knocked on the door. My dad answered the door, and he was shocked. You know, he was so surprised to see us. He was happy, and Marilyn was in the back in their TV room, and she comes out with her walker, and she said, "I'm having a good day." And I just was like, "Lord, this is so good." And so for about two hours, we visited, and I could see that she was starting to, you know, just get a little frail as the conversation went on. And I just, you know, she told us, this was the hard part. My dad said, "Hey, before you leave," he said, "Dave, I have a list of songs. Here's my songs I want you to sing at my funeral." And Marilyn says, "Here's my list of things that I want you to sing at my funeral." And so we were able to kind of communicate. And it was hard, but it was good. And I just thank the Lord for his ministering, and I just pray that we were able to encourage them, and each one of them, you know, we were able to have that opportunity. And Dave and I enjoyed the beautiful weather, you know, there and back, and it was just a good trip. God was good.
Anybody else?
I'm asking for prayer for my grandson's best friend, Drake. I'm not sure what his technical thing that he has is, but when he was a child, before he went into school, his spine just broke down. So he doesn't have a full spine. But and he's been going through a lot of problems lately with, I guess his heart's been having blood pressure problems or something, and he's not eating, and he's swollen in his hands and feet. So we're asking for prayer for him. He went to the doctor, and they told his mom, like, 6 months to a year to live. So we're really asking for a miracle here, and his name's Drake.
We have Drake, we have Roxanne Finley, we have Larry Roush's mom, who's in the hospital, and other ones as well. So any other requests this morning before we pray? For Roger? Okay, so Roger has an upper respiratory, could be from allergies, he don't know what, so just hopefully we can get something to take care of that. Steve's back, I see, hopefully you're doing better, so. Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for the praises, for the things you've done that we can acknowledge that are from you, that we know we didn't have a hand in those things, but you brought those about, gave us good times, good visits, and restored relationships and those things that happen, finances to get through hard times. And we just pray for your request this morning for Drake, young man, Lord, who's not doing well, and physically he may not be here in the next year, but we pray for his spirit that he may know you as his Lord and Savior, and for Roxanne and Larry's mother and all the other ones, Lord, that are there that we may not have mentioned, but you know what they are, the requests that we have for people out there. May not be doing well, especially physically. I know it can be very disheartening when you're not feeling well day after day after day, but just pray for strength for them, pray for healing for them. Those who may be depressed or emotionally distraught, Lord, that are feeling as they're struggling, those who are financially troubled, but most of all for those who are spiritually not right with you, that may be doing things they shouldn't be doing or serving lower gods instead of the God, which we'll talk about this morning. So we just pray for your Holy Spirit to convict and prick people's hearts to know that you're the one true God. Pray for Steve this morning as he sings. And for all the other requests that we may have, in Jesus' name, amen.
Give you a chance to collect the offering. This is a form of worship to our Lord, to to give to his church. The song I'll be singing is My Savior, First of All. And it's written by Fanny Crosby. I'm sure some of you have heard it, heard about her before. It was mentioned that she had lost her eyesight 6 weeks after she was born. But she is known to have written over 8,000 hymns. How the Lord used her in her inward, her soul, to portray the glory of God. So I thank you for that. This song I'll be singing has scripture from 1 Corinthians 13, and I'll be reading 12 and 13. This is something I put on my wife's headstone, both me and hers. We have both of our names on there. But at the bottom has scripture of this. This whole chapter is considered a love chapter. But at the end, it mentions here, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but when then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know him, just as also I am known." And then at the bottom here, the 13 is, "And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Thank the Lord for that. When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile be the first to welcome me. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his sign I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view his blessed face, and the luster his gleaming eyes. Now my full heart will praise him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepared for me a mansion in the sky. Oh, the dear ones in glory, how we beckon me to come. Wow. Lord, at the river I recall, to the sweet vales of Aden, many sing my welcome home. But I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand. I shall know him, I shall know him, print of the nails in his hand. Oh, the gates to the city in a robe of spotless white, He will lead me where no tears ever fall. In the glad song of ages I shall mingle with delight, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his sign I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand.
Thanks for sharing that, Steve. We live in a difficult and confused world, don't we? They think they know everything. Actually, they don't really know anything. Or they haven't learned anything, even after all this time. We go through the same problems, the same issues, it seems like, over and over again. Look at the Old Testament, what they did, and look at today, and it's still happening. The same things you think we would have learned by now, but that's not necessarily the case. How many times in the Bible did the Lord say that he's the only God? I didn't count them, but I know there's time after time after time where I'm the only Lord, I'm the only God, I'm the only one you need to worship. Exodus 20, verses 2 through 5, he said, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. That should have been enough, shouldn't it? Look what I did for you. That should have been enough for him, but he goes on. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any image in the form of anything in heaven or above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. That means he doesn't want you to love or worship or honor anybody or anything else except him. That's how a marriage relationship is, isn't it? You don't want your husband or wife worshiping or loving someone else. You want them to love you. There's jealousy's okay in some ways, not to be like crazy about it, but you're like, I want you to pay attention to me, and I want you to pay attention, you know, that kind of thing to each other. So, but even though he said there shall be no other gods, they went their own way. They ignored his command and worshiped gods around them. So they got caught up in the people that were around them, the gods they're worshiping, and said, oh, we'll worship that god and this god and all those things that happened. So in the Old Testament, we're going to look at least this story where they worshiped other gods and the results weren't good. Anytime you're doing something you're not supposed to do, the result's not going to be good. You may think it is for a while, but it's not going to last. So in Leviticus, people are warned not to seek out mediums, fortune tellers, or spiritists. That's when you go to those ones, you don't have the little crystal ball, and they do your palm reading and all these things and tell you about the future and whatever else they're trying to discover. Leviticus 19:31, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them, for I am the Lord your God. That means soiled, ruined, stained, led astray, those kind of things. If you're defiled, it means you're just not, basically not whole. You're not where you should be. So why did they seek out mediums? Why did they look other places? Why do they still do it today? Either they don't know God, or they don't think he's enough. They don't think he's listening, or think these people have more than God's going to have, because they're right here. And God's all around. And you can see them, but you can't see him necessarily in physical form. But there are other places where people didn't recognize or acknowledge or worship the one true God. If you go to Judges chapter 2, I'm going to read some verses in there and then do some explanations in there to just tell you what they actually did. So it says, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. Know anybody that lived to 110? Anybody know anybody? I don't. There's some lady, I think now it's 114, is the oldest person in the world. I plan to be in my 90s at least. Maybe later 90s before anything happens, but you never know. Said, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After that, the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors. Another generation grew up who knew neither the land nor what he had done for Israel. We're finding that today with the kids of today. You ask them about Adam and Eve or Noah or any of those kind of stories in the Bible, they're like, who's that? I don't know who that person is. I don't know what that is. That there's a whole generation coming up not knowing about the Lord. It says, and then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. We're not talking about bales of hay. Baals, Baal, different names. Who are the Baals? In the Bible, Baal is the name given to several different deities who are designated as false gods or idols. However, it's most often used to describe the specific Canaanite Phoenician god of fertility and rain. So Baal worship in some looked a little like this. Adults would gather around the altar of Baal. Infants would be burned alive as sacrifices offered to the deity. Amid the horrific screams and stench of charred human flesh, congregants, men and women alike, would engage in inappropriate relations. Can you imagine that? You just throw this baby in the fire and you let him burn up. I mean, it's inconceivable to me to think about that. But we think about, you know, Hitler and the things he did as well. People are still doing crazy, insane things. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense. And this is supposed to be worshiping to a god. So you're killing babies in a fire and doing all these things you shouldn't be doing. It says, additionally, Baal is associated with Beelzebub, demons, and the devil. So the Israelites were choosing to ignore God and worship false gods or the devil. So this generation hadn't heard what the past had done. They went on their own and said, we're going to do this now. I'm not sure how that happened. If somebody didn't tell them what happened, sometimes, you know, you're supposed to. He talks about us telling the next generation. But I think even today we're failing to tell the next generation some things. The next generation, in some cases, not all, has kind of gotten out of hand. Where they think, well, I need to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I don't care about you, or I don't care about old people, not knowing someday they're going to be there, right? But the respect level has gone out the door. I mean, if you're in the school system today, it's not like it was 30 years ago. Now, a lot of times, the kids want to tell you what to do as the teacher. You don't tell them. They're going to tell you. Even the little kids. When I was subbing years ago in, I won't say the school name, but it's in this area, I subbed in this kindergarten class. And this kid was at the cutting in the front of the line. I said, you need to go to the back line. He said, I'm not, no. I said, you need to go to the back line. No. I picked him up and put him in the back of the line, which you weren't supposed to do, I guess. Then I had one underneath a chair that wouldn't come out. And I said, you need to get out here. No. I had to call the secretary to come down and say, come on, Jimmy, come out of there. In my day, they would have just grabbed you and ripped you out of there and said, you're getting out of there, right? There was a consequence. Today, there's not really a consequence. Another school that I was in, that I was teaching in, we had kids in a special classroom, and they allowed this one kid to walk down the halls. And then they would say, you can't come out of class now because such and such is in the hallway. And he'd go in the rooms and throw stuff around, and he'd come in my hallway and flick the lights off, and I went out and flicked them back on. And he flicked them off, and I flicked them on. And they said to me, you can't do that. I said, he's not controlling my hallway. I mean, so those kind of things, you know, our society's upside down where kids are running things adults should be running. And the kids think they're adults, but they don't have the maturity to be adults. So in this case, what's happening was people were worshiping false gods. So what is the next generation learning from that? You know, what are they learning from us? So what can we do today? Be examples of what it looks like to respect, you know, other people, property, the Lord, and those kind of things, because it's not happening at this point. Well, verse 12 goes on and said, they forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of peoples around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. In his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around them, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them. They were in great distress. When you're going against God's will, you're going to be in great distress, right? Whether it's a physical, emotional, financial, whatever distress is going to be, you're not going to be happy living the life you're living if you're not where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to do. It says, then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. And you think, oh, that's great, they're saved. Yet they would not listen to these judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshiped them. They quickly turned from the ways of their ancestors, who had been obedient to their Lord's commands. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. For the Lord relented because of the groanings under the oppressed and afflicted. But when the judge died, the people returned to the ways even more corrupt than those of their ancestors. Following other gods and serving and worshiping them, they refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. So it didn't get better. It just got worse. And the more things that are happening today, it's getting worse and worse. Think of the Kia boys breaking into cars, people going into garages, people breaking doors down and getting into houses and home invasions. It's all going on today. And we think, what is happening, you know? Well, don't fund the police, but then call the police because you need them, but they don't have enough guys because you defunded them. I mean, it's just crazy. It doesn't make any sense. We want law and order, but we don't want law and order. So therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and said, because this nation has violated the covenant I ordained for their ancestors, has not listened to me, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations Joshua left when he died. I will use them to test Israel and see whether they'll keep the way of the Lord and walk in it as their ancestors did. The Lord had allowed those nations to remain. He did not drive them out at once by giving them into the hands of Joshua. So they had some punishments coming, didn't they? God said, I'm going to let these people torment you. I'm going to let them have victory over you because you won't listen to me until you finally come to the place where you'll say, okay. Did you ever get in a situation where you were too stubborn to do what was right? Until finally you're like, fine, I'll do it. And you thought, why didn't I do this in the first place? Because of pride and stubbornness, right? I don't want to admit that I'm wrong. Article from Christianity Today that I found talks about Ashtoreth. It says the Baals and Ashtoreth. It says Ashtoreth is one of the main false gods mentioned in the Old Testament. Different groups have different thoughts who Ashtoreth was and what she was associated with. Still, modern consensus agrees that Ashtoreth's name in Scripture is a corruption of the name of Astarte, that she was one of the chief female deities found in the region of Canaan. And why am I telling you this? So you know what these people are doing in the Scripture, what these gods mean. A false goddess in the Old Testament, Ashtoreth was one of the many gods Israel turned to instead of Yahweh. Ashtoreth herself was so common that she had become synonymous with all false gods of worship, similar to how we modern shoppers refer to Band-Aids or bandages, and we call them all Band-Aids. So that when they mentioned a false god, Ashtoreth, it was her, and she stood for all of them pretty much. She was worshipped as a goddess of a wide variety of things. She was connected to both the moon and the planet Venus. Eaton's Bible Dictionary says she represented the passive principle in nature. She was also a goddess of fertility, sexual love, and war. She was also known as the Queen of Heaven. I never heard that before. She's the Queen of Heaven. We talk about God being in heaven. They called her the Queen of Heaven. Her worshippers raised Asherah poles in her name. They also engaged in what Smith's Bible Dictionary refers to as the most impure rites. This may have included sacrifices, cutting, immoral acts. And it says the Canaanites burned offerings and poured out libations to her. So if all this is going around, they're worshiping her, it's not difficult to see why the Israelites went that direction. Because they're all getting into this thing as if this is going to help my crops and this is going to help this and we're going to get rain if we do this and all those things that they're thinking. But the one true God never promises a perfect life, even though each of us wants one, right? Wouldn't you want a perfect life? Everything's perfect. You wake up just on time without setting your alarm, right? Your bills go down. Your income goes up. You eat all you want. You don't get any weight. Never have an argument. Just perfect. We want a perfect world, but that doesn't happen. Our world's not perfect. We have all kinds of issues, don't we? We get something in the mail. Oh, your electricity is going up 30%. We all got that, I believe, didn't we? You drive through McDonald's and sniff the food and you gain 5 pounds. You think you said something good and somebody yells at you and you're like, well, I was trying to help. We don't live in a perfect world. We want to have a perfect world, but we don't live in one. We also long to be free to act as we wish. But even though God showed the Israelites many wonders, he also created an intricate code for them to follow. In contrast, they lived to please themselves, worshiping false gods. Though Christians today may not run after literal gods, we often chase things that we shouldn't be chasing. We think God doesn't promise an easy life. We want fame, we want wealth, pleasure, love, etc. We make things our gods and ignore the one that we're meant to worship. Matthew 6:24 tells us that we can't serve God to our fullest if we're worshiping something else, just like the Israelites. It's called idolatry, isn't it? If you have an idol. So I looked up, what's a false god? Just get a definition. We know it's a god that's not real, not true. It says in the Abrahamic religions, that means the Israelites, false god is used as a derogatory term to refer to a deity or object of worship besides the Abrahamic God, which is God, that is regarded as either illegitimate or non-functioning in its professed authority or capability, and its characterization is further used as a definition of an idol. So mediums or fortune tellers and crystals and Ouija boards and all those things like those are idols or false gods, right? Big thing now is what? Crystals and different scents. I don't know. I don't do all that stuff, but and all these things can be idols. You know, it could be your TV. It can be your car. It can be your house. It can be a certain person. It can be a singer. It can be all kinds of things. It can be your idols or false gods. Isaiah 8:19 and 22 says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Sounds like a seance, doesn't it? You're all meeting and asking the spirit of such and such Aunt, you know, Betty to come back and speak to you and tell you all these things. And he's saying, why would you talk to the dead when you can talk to God? He said, consult God's instruction and testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. It means if you're not speaking according to the Bible, it's not worth listening to. Don't listen to it. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they'll become enraged, looking upward, and will curse the king and their God. Then they will look toward heaven and see only distress and darkness and fear and gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. It means if you're not worshiping God, you're not going to see light. You're not going to see good, happy things. You're going to see distress and despair and bad things and no good outlook. Matthew Henry gives a commentary on this. He says that those that seek to familiar spirits and regard not God's law and testimony, there shall be horror and misery. Those that go away from God, go out of their way of all good, for fretfulness is a sin that is their own punishment. They shall despair and see no way of relief when they curse God. And their fears will represent everything that is frightful. Those that shut their eyes against the light of God's word will be justly left to darkness. All the miseries that ever were felt or witnessed on earth are as nothing compared to that which will overwhelm those who leave the words of Christ to follow delusions. So they say, you think you've seen it bad, you haven't seen anything yet. If you walk away from God and leave his word, you're going to see things that you never thought were possible. Horrific, terrible things. So when we decide to worship or follow other gods or idols or false practices, there'll be consequences and separation from the hand of the Lord. Here's a story by a lady I was reading this week. Her name is Jordan Taylor. That's Jordan Taylor. And she was involved in idol worship, basically false gods. So I'm just going to read her story because I think it's a real story. It's not just a fictional thing. She's talking about it. She said, I used to practice witchcraft. I did spells. I read oracle cards. I did energy work. I used crystals as a means of healing, protecting, and manifesting. I was a Reiki master, which I'm not sure what that is, and a yoga teacher. I believed in astrology, manifested under a new moon. Hear the moon, Ashtoreth. Did shadow work under the full moon. I worshiped nature and worked with the goddesses. I believed I was a starseed. I found my spirit guides and let them lead me the course of my life. I would talk to spirit, source, and universe and believe that I was speaking to my higher self. I believed that I created my own reality and that I was my own God in control of my own life. You ever hear religions like that believe they are gods? They're out there. I was also trapped in a continuous cycle of healing and up-leveling, constantly needing the next healing session in various forms. Feeling good after each session and then chasing after that feel-good high when it would wear off. I believed that my next crisis was just leveling me up and raising my vibration and cracking some secret code to the harmony of the collective planet. While I believed all this, I was suffering in a deep pit of depression. I longed to feel loved and understood and heard. My soul lacked a sense of belonging. My body was in constant state of fight or flight. There were lots of days I had wished I weren't alive. I was being tormented, experienced regular sleep paralysis. I thought I could burn a little sage, say a little chant, and put crystals in my corner of my room to stop it. But I was wrong. What I was actually doing was laying down a welcome mat for darkness, deception, and all that comes with it. I felt so allergic to the G word, which is God, that I almost unfriended a New Age colleague who had recently come to Christ because she couldn't stop talking about Jesus. I was irritated by it, angry and repelled. I thought, what happened to her? Has she gone mad? But in God's grace, he met me in my stubbornness, in my sin, and my depression. There was a moment in my resistance where I reluctantly watched a movie about Jesus to appease my boyfriend at the time. I watched and sobbed hysterically. I was overcome by an intense feeling of love, something I had never felt before, the kind of love that I was desperately chasing in all the wrong ways. That's when I knew God was after my heart. I tried to deny it and ignored it, but I wanted to feel that feeling again, so I chased after Jesus. Started reading the Bible. I'd never really done that before, and God's character was revealed to me. I prayed a lot. I had resistance to attending church, but eventually bounced around to a few churches until I found a biblically sound church that I loved, and this is how I started a relationship with God. I never knew what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus, and now that I know, I'd never let that go. My chains of depression have been broken. After praying in the name of Jesus, I've never experienced anything like sleep paralysis again. I found joy in the Lord. I've been made free by his word. I felt the power of his spirit, felt the love of the Father, and I'm changed forever. Amen. Then she closes with this. She said, New Agers often think there are multiple ways to God, that you just have to find your truth or that you can access Christ consciousness. None of that's true. The truth is that there are not multiple ways to God. There's one way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and no one gets to the Father except through him. I know a lot of you will think the same thing about me that I thought about my New Age colleague. She's gone totally mad, and I'm okay with that. There's nothing that compares to the peace, hope, and love that comes from knowing Jesus. My prayer is that maybe this plants seeds in your hearts, and that if you feel convicted by my words, you open the idea that God is chasing after you too. That's pretty sobering to see what she's in, because a lot of people are into that stuff. They're into burning these things and these crystals and all these things that they're doing and astral projecting, which you're transporting out of your body, and all these things that they say they're doing. And that's not from Christ. That's not from the Lord. And it's a good thing she came around and found that. The first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. This commandment that most of us don't think we ever break, but we tend to imagine an idol worshiper is lying down prostrate before a carved image. And yet the command is much broader. An idol is anything that takes the place of God in your life. An object, an idea, a philosophy, a habit, an occupation, a sport, a person that your primary concern is higher for and decreases your loyalty to the Lord. Deuteronomy 4:39, acknowledge and take heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below, and there is no other. So we say, acknowledge it, say it, believe it, that there's only one God, one true God. His word's true and faithful. If we choose to believe or put our faith in anyone or anything else, we'll find turmoil. It may even lead to a path of destruction, like this lady was talking about that we read this morning. We're to have no other God except the Lord. So examine your life, and if there's an idol in there that you're worshiping, now's the time to get rid of it. They used to have book burnings, didn't they? Book burnings and record burnings and all these things. And sometimes you bring something back from another country thinking, this is a cute little trinket. And maybe it's an idol. that somebody's cursed on that's affecting your life, whether you believe it or not, those things can happen. So it's a good day today to examine and say, God, are there any idols out there I need to get rid of? People I'm worshiping, things I'm doing? Today be a good day. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for your word that we know you're the one true God. We know sometimes things creep in to our lives that we tend to worship and think it's okay, but yet we're putting more emphasis and time and energy on them than we are on you. So if that's happening, Lord, give us the recognition to know that it's happening, to get rid of those things, to repent, to trust in you, and know that you're the only Savior and Lord that we need to worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand, shall we, and sing. I have decided to follow Jesus. 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 No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Amen. Hasn't it been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Have a good week. Thank you.